So today, I want to begin a four-week series on this little book that I have misplaced my actual physical copy. Now I read on my Kindle, on my phone, and on my computer, and listen on Audible, and I don't actually even know where the actual hardcover book is anymore. But this lovely little book called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And Ruiz is a member of the peoples of the Toltec, an ancient peoples from Mexico. And there is wisdom in this book that has transformed people's lives. And so for the next 4 weeks, we'll be examining this book. And with that, I'm also going to invite you, if you wish, to join me on Wednesday night, and Ronnie will talk a little bit more about that during our announcements, but to join me on Wednesday night to go a little deeper on Zoom so that people who aren't able to be here in person can join in as well, but to discuss these ideas. And we'll do that every Wednesday. The premise of this book is that as children, we have been domesticated, which is a nasty sounding word. But basically what it means is that as children, we are taught through a series of punishments and rewards to know how to live in a way that is expected by our parents, by our school, by our ministers, by our families as a whole, by our workplaces when we get there, and by society in general. And so we have this good girl, bad girl message, good boy, bad boy message that starts when we are wee little tots, that teaches us what we are okay to do and what is not okay to do. And we think of it today, we even hear little kids saying, that's not acceptable. This is part of that domestication. And so over time, because we don't want to be punished, which leads to being ostracized and sent to your room or timed out or any of those things where you're now considered no longer part of the group, which is, by the way, the most painful thing that can happen to a person is to be cast out. So in school, they used to call it being put into Coventry. There was a name for it. And you were not allowed to be spoken to, and you weren't allowed to be spoken, and weren't allowed to speak. So this idea of not being part of the community is such a fearful idea that we all learn to mind our manners and learn to mind our parents and our teachers and so on, so that we aren't sent into Coventry, that we aren't sent away and banished. And so we make these unconscious agreements with our society about how we should live, about what's acceptable and what isn't. And that's what Ruiz calls domestication. And the problem with that, if you will, or the challenge, is that we become pretty good at becoming domesticated. And so we tend, in our effort to please, to lose who we are, to subvert, to some extent, some of our joy and our passion for life. Have you ever looked at kids on the playground and you see that they're running and they're jumping and they're laughing and they're crying and they're like, they move from one side of an emotion to another within 15 minutes, and they tend to figure things out just fine on their own. But at some point, that seems to shift. And you notice that they don't smile so much anymore. Somewhere around school age, it seems to me, that that happens. And so, over time, some of these childhood agreements actually may not serve us all that well as we grow. We forget our joy. And as we become domesticated, we don't even need the parents and the teachers and the ministers to tell us what to do. We start internalizing it so much that we do it for ourselves. And then we become not just the victim of the domestication, but the judge as well. And so we judge ourselves because we're not perfect, because we don't live up to this picture of whatever it is that perfection is shown to be. And in so doing, according to Ruiz, we create hell on earth. If you think about hell, what is it? It's a place of fear and pain and suffering and punishment. That's sort of the religious picture of hell, isn't it? Well, we don't have to wait until we die. Some people are living in it now. And so the challenge and the question for us is, can we make some new agreements? Do we have to buy in to this man-made, this is the way things should be philosophy that we've grown up with since we were little? And is it possible that we can look at some of those agreements that we've made unconsciously now and challenge them and create some new agreements? And there are four agreements that, according to Toltec wisdom, are the agreements that if we can take these ways of being into our life, that we will open the door, swing wide the door to more freedom. Where we move from the hell on earth that we've created, where we live in fear and judgment and victimhood, to a heaven on earth that we can also create, where we live free, completely free to express who we are. It means changing our belief system, also known as our BS. And sometimes our BS is truly BS. So, the thing about it is some of these seem like they're easy to say, but there is a discomfort that comes to us when we start considering any change. Why? Because it's scary. And so one of the things that I'll ask you right now to consider is to expect feeling a little uncomfortable as you hear some of these ideas. And then as you try to shift your BS, feel a little uncomfortable means that you're probably doing something right. So what are these four agreements? The first one, which we will explore today, is called be impeccable with your word. Next week, we'll look at don't take anything personally. Can't wait to hear what I'm going to say about that. The third one is don't make assumptions. And the fourth one is always do your best. So we're going to play with these. Just share ideas and see what bubbles up and feels right for us. This first agreement is the most difficult to master. And it is the one that kind of swings up wide the door to all the others. And that is, be impeccable with your word. What does word mean? Word is your ability to create, your ability to form. Whether it's an actual written word or an image, word is the idea. And we all create constantly. It is one of Unity's principles that we are part of divine energy, if you will, or creative energy, if you'd prefer a more secular look at it. We're all part of creative energy. We're made of energy. And how we create is with our images and our words. It is the ideas we hold, the thoughts that we have. And I'm reminded of the beginning of the Gospel of John, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The ability to create is with us and is us. We create all the time. And so here, I think of the idea of word as being the ability to create our own heaven and our own hell right here. We can uplift, raise ourselves up, as Lyle just sang, or we can suffer. Well, that's word. What does be impeccable with your word mean? Well, the word impeccable comes with a Latin root, from the Latin root peccatus, which means sin. So impeccable means without sin. And at Unity, we think of sin as being something where we aim for something and we miss the mark. Well, in this book, The Four Agreements, sin is defined as anything that goes against ourselves. Anything that goes against ourselves. Anytime we do anything that harms us, then we are failing, we are missing the mark at being impeccable. And so, the whole core about this idea of being impeccable with your word is be filled with love for yourself. It starts with you. So you're going, how is it that if I say something to someone else that I am hurting me? Well, think of it this way. You say something to someone else. If you believe in systems theory, if you say something to someone else and it takes them down, then we who are all interconnected at some level are all taken down a little bit. And if you aren't ready for systems theory as an idea, where we're all an interconnected web, then think of it from a very practical point of view. You say something mean to someone else, They are now going to hold a resentment against you. Therefore, you are actually doing something that is against yourself. So impeccable means never doing anything that in some way will harm yourself. You take care of that, everything else will follow. And in Proverbs, we are told that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so we want to look at three different ways today where we can be more impeccable with our word. The three ways that I want to speak about are when we voice negative opinions about ourselves, when we voice negative opinions to others or negative energy to others, and when we gossip about others. Let me tell you a quick story, and this story is shared in the book. And it's the story of a loving mom who comes home after working all day, and she's tired, and she's kind of grumpy, and she's got things to do, and she's had a rotten day at work. And her five-year-old daughter is singing, jumping around and having the time of her life. Can you picture that? You ever been with a kid who's just like the love of life is like burrowing from them? They're so joyfully happy and ebullient. And she's laughing and singing, and her mother can't stand it because she's tired and grumpy and needs some space for herself. So she turns to that little girl and she says, "Would you stop singing? You sound awful." And we all go, "Ah, how terrible." And we've all done it. At some level, we've all taken that joy from someone in that way. So we look at this, these two people, and we realize that we are both people at times. We've been that mom who's said something negative to someone else and had their joy sucked from them. And we've been that person, have we not? Where we've been on the receiving end of someone saying something to us and it cuts us to the quick and it completely changes the joy that we were experiencing not a few minutes before. So let's look at some of these briefly. Let's first look at this idea of speaking meanly to ourselves, the little girl. Because that little girl grew up not singing. She grew up being scared to speak out. She didn't want to get in anyone's way. She ended up not enjoying being with people. And I see a few nods in the room. All because of one loving mother having a bad moment and forgetting that she may have power with her word. As the little girl, we who are grown-ups now sometimes act just like that little girl. Somebody says something to us and it hooks us. And we believe the opinion of someone else. So the first thing I want to encourage you all to do when you are being impeccable to yourself with your word is don't believe the opinions of others when they characterize you. You don't need to buy in to another person's opinion. Your opinion of me is none of my business. If we can free ourselves from wanting the approval of someone else, believing what they think is true about whether we can sing or dance or be athletic or be a good scholar or love who we want or not, like, think of all of these things that we've been conditioned to believe because of the opinions of others. What if we could free ourselves and look within and think? Remember that acronym that I did when we spoke about eliminating or encouraging nicer talking, nicer thinking? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring to me? Is it necessary that I believe this? And is it kind to me? What if they had an opinion and I didn't believe it? Because I know who I am. That's the first part of what I'd like to talk to you about. And the way that I think we could get around that, when we are the one who is being hooked and being spoken to, or when we speak to ourselves, because it's only when we bite the hook and we say, yeah, you're right, that's when we get caught. And that is when we go against ourselves and we fail at our goal of being impeccable with our word. So, do not speak against yourself, ever. Even with little things, like I stub my toe and I say, oh man, I'm dumb, or I'm clumsy. What? You stubbed your toe. Who hasn't done that? It doesn't define who you are. But watch any time you say the words, I am, and then a sentence behind it. Next, we speak against ourselves when we voice negative names, labels, or emotions at other people. Partly because of what I just explained to you earlier about this idea of getting someone upset and having them upset at you is not good for you. Everything is energy. And when we are in a place where we are the recipient of negative energy, we can feel it. Why? Because we're all interconnected. And so, think of that mom in the story that I just told you. She was upset, she was angry. Her little one, at some level, probably internalized some of that hurt, probably internalized some anger, and likely shared it with some other people, including her mom, in various other ways. Think of the times when we have been angry, when we have spewed our poison to someone else and some unlucky victim has been the recipient of it. Remember some research that was done by Dr. John Gottman, who wrote the book, The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work. And his research shows that if a couple, and that goes for any relationship, so insert sisters, friends, co-workers, family members, co-workers, church members, friends, doesn't matter. What he found is if an interaction was happening where a couple was having a discussion that was started with heat, what he called a harsh startup, then it was statistically way off the charts that it was not going to end well. Does this surprise any of us that if you go and spew at someone, they're very likely not going to go, oh, so thank you, what is it that you really want to talk about? They're much more likely to become defensive and nail it right back at you. So what are you doing? You are harming yourself. If you want to add love, if you want to move in the direction of peace, then choose words that get your point across, but in a kind and honest way. Yes, it takes practice. Yes, it is not the way we were domesticated to do things. We were told to go and give that person a piece of their mind, of our mind. And I think of Jesus right now, who said, I tell you that you've heard an eye for an eye. And now he wanted something different. And an eye for an eye was better than what was there before, which was, if you take my eye, I'll take your body. Like, it was nasty. That's not in my notes, so I'll just keep moving on. The whole point is that when we speak from emotion and anger and fear, we end up continuing that cycle. And if we want to circuit break, then we need to do something a little different. And that's really what Jesus was trying to say, I think. I wasn't there. But think about how you would like to be treated. If someone was upset with you and they wanted to come and tell you, how would you want to hear it? You wouldn't want to hear it with them coming out all guns blazing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then finally, because I'm aware of time a little, that we speak against ourselves when we voice names, labels, characterizations, emotional energy about other people. Not to other people now, I'm talking about other people. When we gossip, when we say things about people who aren't there to say things for themselves. Now accept that that is part of how we were domesticated. We were told that it was okay to do this. We grew up, in my case anyway, watching soap operas where that's all about gossip. And where you find that the little groups, and those little groups talk about another little group or a person in the other group. And it feels like fun because you're part of a group. And there's some power when you're part of a group talking about someone else. So it's juicy. Gossip is juicy. And it is poisonous. Remember that Fabergé, I know I'm dating myself for sure. Remember that Fabergé Organics commercial that was a shampoo and a conditioner, was really good, by the way. But anyway, the commercial was, I tried using Fabergé Organics. She used Fabergé Organics, and she told two friends about it, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and then the screen went from one person to two people, to four people, to 16 people, and so on. This is the power of gossip. Because what happens is, not only do you speak about someone who's not there to defend themselves, but then the other person is so excited by the juicy news that they tell two friends and probably embellish a little along the way, and they tell two friends and embellish along the way, and this poor person who is being spoken about and has no idea is tried, judged, and convicted before they even know that there's something that that is a concern. And then what happens is your relationship with that person is no longer full and free. They know something is wrong. Therefore, they're going to treat you differently, and you will suffer. Therefore, you are going against yourself. Therefore, don't gossip, because it is not being impeccable with your word. And one place that I want to mention about this, and that is intimate relationships. Because often we talk about couples being faithful to each other, and we think that that is limited to the bedroom. And I think it's actually more important, certainly as important, to be faithful in the words we speak and the references that we make to the people who are our intimate partners. We are not being impeccable with our words when we say things against the people who are closest to us. And so, the goal is to honor them. And in turn, that will help them to honor us. And that means that we aren't going against ourselves. You see how that works? So, do unto others as you would have them do to you. That golden rule that Jesus said, that is in the Hebrew scriptures, that is in every major faith tradition on the planet in one form or another. And the most important part of that is the idea of loving yourself enough to treat others in the way you would like to be treated. That's where love your neighbor as yourself comes from too. So if you love yourself, if you do nothing to harm yourself, everything else will follow. And so, I invite you to consider breaking some of those agreements that you have made that have kept you in a form of hell. Things about what you're capable of, how you look, how you are, how you speak. I invite you to change your agreements about how you believe the opinions of others. I invite you to change your agreements about how you relate to other people so that you don't say anything that in turn is actually harmful. Raise people up. And then change the agreement about how you speak about people. Have no part of it. Move in the direction of truth and love. Be impeccable with your word. Be without sin with your word. I bless you.